for this morning. Just go and walk to someone you haven't said hi to and greet them. Good to have you here. It's wonderful to have you here. Just a reminder that you know, next week Sunday, it's the first Sunday of the new month. Then we have communion together as a church. And we also just have one church service, 9:30 a.m. Just the one service, 9:30. So please bring someone along and come and join us and come and have fellowship. Pastor Jaco van Rooyen from our sister church in Swakopmund. Pastor Jaco will be preaching next week. So, yes. Now, I'm going to continue for the last time this a little bit with the trusting God message. And I just wanted to say, but fortunately Maggie helps me out there. If you feel that, oh, Pastor, you're going to preach again about trusting God, you know, then maybe this is really just for you this morning. Because usually when we think, no, we know everything and we have a message, we know exactly God has dealt with me, many times then there's actually a little bit of pride because we can all grow in this area of our lives. Now, you know, I ministered a little bit on this topic before, and when I walked into church or when I got here this morning at about just 8 o'clock or so, you know, the first thing I walked and said hi to Reinald, and then I saw the power was off. There was no electricity. So you guys in the English service, you've got now electricity here. The first, we didn't have it. But you know, that can have a way of making us think like, you know, it can throw us a little bit. It can make us think like, ooh, what is going to happen now? We don't have electricity. And you know, the same thing happens many times in life, you know. We think things will work out a certain way in life, and then it doesn't. Now, I remember in 2009, early in the year, around about May, Pastor Hercules Opperman was here, and then he preached, and he started with sharing a little bit about different fears people have. You know, some people have a fear of heights. Some people have a fear of, you know, claustrophobia, you know, a lot of people in a small room. Go and have a look. There's many different fears that people have. And I guess it can be very easy to share and say, I'm going to share on 101 things that I'm scared of, or 50 things that I really hope won't happen in my life, or 10 things I fear. But, you know, that is not going to really bless us. That's not going to help us a lot. So, we know there will always be tough times, and I used the scripture before about Jesus speaking to Simon and telling him, Simon, Simon, the devil has asked for you, he wants to sift you, you know. There will always be difficult times. But as we as a church, you know, I just had to ask myself in the week, what if I say I'm a person that trusts a God that can be trusted? You know, and if I live that life about trust, what will flow from my relationship in trust? What will flow? Thank you, Leanne. I wonder how many Sundays I've said that the past 5 years. Thank you, Leanne. It must be many, many Sundays. I almost want to make a joke again. But Leanne, I'm sure the guy that's going to marry you one day will be a happy man. Just because you love blessing people. Yes, Leanne, sir. Yes, yeah. I agree with that. But, I don't know. I got off my... what I wanted... basically, so if we say we have a God we can trust, and we say we trust that place, and as I preached the previous week, even where I say I trust God and I will follow God where He leads me, even if there's a bit of risk involved, even a few things I can't control, even if I might get scared, hurt a little bit, I'm talking from a place that God knows what's best for us. And He knows what's best for us. So, I want to start and I want to read a scripture to you. It's from 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 3 to 4. But the Lord is faithful. He will establish you and guard you against the evil one. And you will have, and we have confidence in the Lord about you, that you are doing and will do the things that we command. It's almost like a father speaking to his children. You know, I've got faith that I'm going to tell you something and that you will listen to what I say to you. So it's Paul writing here to the Thessalonians, and basically the context or a little bit of background is where, you know, he was scared or worried that the enemy will come and steal the very young, the vulnerable faith of the guys in Thessalonica. And here he says, but I've got confidence in God about you and what will happen, that you will listen and that you will do as the rest of my letters say, you know. And that is something that blesses me, you know. It's something as for us, some of you, if you may be a small group facilitator or a leader or a father, or if you've got kids, you know, it's that place where we can have confidence in God for other people that they will be okay, you know. And I used the example in Afrikaans church service, you know, when I was single, when I was a student, it was just me I had to almost worry about, you know. But then I got married and now I've got a wife, so there's someone else in my life that I might think where she is okay, what she's doing. And then I got kids, you know, and then the bigger the family get, you know, you think, you know, I can't be with them all the time. I can't be with my wife every moment of the day, even if you want to. If my kids are at school, you know, you can't hold their hands, you know, kids fall, they get hurt. Just on Saturday, I think Gustav was running towards me and he misplaced his foot on one of the stairs and he fell, you know, and every parent, you know, and then the knees are bleeding, and every parent will think like, oh, I wish I could just make that quantum leap and catch him, that it didn't happen. So basically we live in a place where we can't manage everything around us, okay? But we can come back to this place where we can have our faith in God for other people, whether it's your friends, family, people that work with you, your kids, etc., you know. And that gives us a lot of rest in a sense. Then secondly, a second thing I want to share on is you know, we face storms, face it. You know, Pastor Fred in a sermon a week ago, he said, you know, whether you are in the perfect storm, if you're not, it will probably be on its way, especially for us in the church. You know, there's always stuff that's challenging, stuff that's difficult for us. Now, I want to read two scriptures concerning that to you. The first is in Matthew 8, verse 5 to 10. And then I'll also read to you from Matthew 8, verse 23 to 26, just a little bit later. Let's start with Matthew 8, verse 5. And if you've got your Bible here, you can follow. It's up there as well. When he had entered Capernaum, a centurion came forward to him, appealing to him, "Lord, my servant is lying paralyzed at home, suffering terribly." And he said to him, "I will come and heal him." But the centurion replied, "Lord, I'm not worthy to have you come under my roof, but only say the word and my servant will be healed. For I too am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. And I say to one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it." When Jesus heard this, he marveled and said to those who followed him, "Truly, I tell you, with no one in Israel I have found faith such as this." You know, and this wasn't a Jew, it was a Roman soldier, you know. And Jesus is just like, wow, what we have here. This man understood that Jesus didn't even have to come to his house, lay probably hands on the sick and pray for that person, or give a command and that person could be healed. He just says, "Jesus, you just stand where you are, you just speak the word, and that person will be healed." Okay? So he understood something, because he was, you know, and the scripture is usually quoted in terms of authority and so forth, but he had a confidence that Jesus can heal that person. He had that place of confidence. And I'll come back to it just now. Let me just read to you a little bit later on, almost where Jesus is again in the same context. He's disappointed with his own disciples. "And when he got into the boat, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great storm on the sea, so that the boat was being swamped by the waves, but he was asleep. And they went and woke him, saying, 'Save us, Lord, we are perishing.' And he said to them, 'Why are you afraid, O you of little faith?' Then he rose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm." Now that reminds me of a story. You know, when I was a high school boy, I had three friends, and the place where we all went to holidays were at the coast, and we always went together with their dad, and we went crayfishing. You know, and many, my father and their father were friends, and many times my My friend's father, they would invite my dad to come along on the boat, on the rubber duck. And it's nice, you go out on the sea and then you've got the nets and you catch crayfish. But you know, my dad's from Arenos here in Namibia. And my dad always said, now I've kind of translated it and it's probably not going to sound the same. But he said, no, he's a rabbit from the sand. You know, he comes from the Kalahari, so he doesn't like going on the sea. You guys go do that. You know, now I think these guys probably felt the same. They're like, whoa, you know, I think my dad would understand this scripture. I liked it. You know, it's nice. You pull up the net and sometimes there's a shark in it or something like that, or crabs, or just stuff boys like, I guess. You know, but my dad always just said, no, this waves and all the ocean and stuff, he doesn't feel safe there. And probably the disciples felt the same. You know, so on the one hand, here in chapter 8, and this is not days, that must have been probably very close to each other. On the one hand, you've got this officer, just the centurion, that just understands, and he says, Jesus, you just say the word, and my servant will be healed. On the other hand, you've got the disciples, the people that walked with Jesus, shared a lot of time with him. In chapter 8, he already did a few miracles. And you know, one of the important things to understand is, even if the waves were tsunamis, that boat wouldn't have sunk. Why? Because Jesus couldn't die right there. Jesus had to die on a cross. Okay? That was prophesied. That was God's. He had to, we're going to read later from Hebrews. And then we're going to see that place where we can boldly enter into God's, that to the throne of grace for mercy and stuff. Because we've got a high priest interceding. And you know, Jesus is interceding for us. He died on the cross. So the disciples obviously didn't have the full picture right then. But they had to actually see Jesus cast out demons. He healed the sick. So why would the ocean now kill all of them? You know, and it's something, you know, it's a place of when the storms come to us. You know, how do we look at it? If Jesus is in the boat, things are different. The storm might still come, but at least, you know, at least it's different. And that brings me to another thing. You know, people are watching the church, and people like to, especially us as a charismatic church, you know, the bigger charismatic church, joke and, you know, yeah, you peoples that pray in tongues, and yeah, you want to heal the sick and cast out demons and stuff like whatever, you know. People think many times we are funny and in the church. You know, so people keep an eye on us, and people want to see that God is real. People want to see that God is real. People want to, they need to see that we trust in a God that can be trusted. Okay? And especially now, there's not that many fathers here this morning, but take it back to your own place, and I'm going to tell you a story. I remember in 2010 when we were in South Africa and we were doing the ministry training program, I remember it was summer, and the one night a moth came. The boys were just almost 2 years old, and I remember one of these big ones came, but not the like they flying in, they're like doof, flying to something and crashing into something, but it's making almost like a noise. You think they're gonna break a window or something. It was one of those big guys. Who of you, Maggie, are afraid of moths? No, Maggie's not afraid. Okay, lots of ladies are, but you know, I learned something there. I saw them, and then Maritza saw it, and she's kind of this, and then the thing flew right into her, and obviously she kind of freaked out and yelled and screamed. And you know, I just saw it happen because I was like, just when I was looking for something to kill the flippin' thing or the bloody thing, you know, just to bring order back into my house, you know. But do you know what happened? Do you know what happened? That moment, that moth flew right into her. She yelled and jumped up and stuff. And then the boys, they did exactly the same because they were looking what mum was doing, you know. So I saw, especially Gustav, he kind of freaked out because my wife freaked out, okay? And that just taught me something. You know, if she was, it's just a moth, get here, go out, you know, they would have been easy. They would have been okay, you know? But because she acted like that, or reacted like that, they did the same. And if you're the husband or the father in the house, or you're a leader somewhere in life, you know, if the moth flies into you, people need to see that you don't freak out. They need to see our faith. They need to see we've got a confidence. The name of the script, the sermon, can you just go there to the first slide? I said, trusting God, number 3, living in confidence. I think that's trusting our God, living with confidence. And that place where I just felt that as I was preparing, if we have that trust in God, you know, what is flowing to Windhoek? What is flowing to the people around us? You know, and it's almost, I felt like we need to have that confidence in God, you know. And firstly, I said, you know, we can have confidence in God for others. And here, we've got these two examples about the storm and the one, the centurion understanding this thing. And then secondly, the Jesus basically rebuking the disciples and say, why are you afraid? Are you of little faith? You see? So people around us, whether you're at work, especially at work, I think, people need to see there's a storm coming, there's a tough month financially coming, there's a drought coming, whatever it might be. But you know, it's that place of saying, I see it coming, but my God is bigger. I remember when we were in Rundu in the missions, some of you were there, we had a feedback session. And I remember one of the ladies were talking and saying, but I saw so many things that challenged me. I saw so many difficult things and challenges, and I'm not sure how we're going to solve it, and etc. But then she just said, I know my God is bigger than this. You know, and people need to see it. People around us need to see we trust in God, and God can be trusted. Because there's a lot of people, and you will know, that will have walked away from people, in a sense, and from God, because they feel they've been wronged. You know, that God can be trusted. Where was God when my child died? Where was God when this abuse happened, or what? And you know, we live in a broken world. That's a fact. But we need to reflect something. We need to show something. And a scripture that just shows it so beautifully, in a sense, is 2 Corinthians 2, verse 14 to 16. I can't remember. Yes, I have it there. Okay. But thanks be to God, who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession, and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of Him everywhere. For we are the aroma of Christ to God among those. And I'm just going to go on till there. You know, it's speaking about this aroma, the smelling sound. You know, and I just have to tell it also in the previous service. Last week, I again, as a male, bumped my nose again, in a sense. I got to the info table and Esther was there, and I gave her a hug, and then I saw she had this beautiful one flower on the info table. You know, and I walked back to her and I said, wow, the flower is really smelling good. And she laughed and said, yes, it's a plastic flower. And I was like, oops, you know. And then I think my male brain was too slow again, you know. So probably what happened is I gave Esther a hug, and she probably, as being a lady, smelled nice, you know. And then I thought it's the flower. So I really had a blonde moment, if I can put it like that. But in this context, you know, Paul is writing and he says, we the church, we as Christians, we must be this aroma. There's something in another story I remember when I was still a student or younger. There was this ladies that lived, I almost want to say across the street. It wasn't the street, but something like that. And I remember, I don't know which one of them it was, but when they put on perfume, I mean, you could smell it a block away. You know, it was just an aroma that you couldn't miss. Now, ladies, before anyone throws me with shoes at me this morning, there's nothing wrong, but that's the thing about smelling something nice. It's like on a Saturday afternoon walking in the streets, and you can hear, okay, there's, or you can smell, there's someone brying a chicken, and there's someone brying this, and there's someone doing that, and you can smell it. It fills the whole environment, you know. And we need to spread this thing. We need to spread it that when the people around us can see and smell. You know, Scripture talks a lot about being a light and being a light tower and stuff like that. That people can see, I've got a crisis right now. I'm not going to do the freaking out thing. You know, people can come to you in their tough times. You know, I believe it's so important. You know, it's important that we share the gospel and minister to people. But face it, people look what we do, and they need to see. I almost want to say, Lord Jesus, that place of just saying, Lord, you are bigger than this. I trust in you. Another one that I believe will be, and I'm ending off the series in a sense by just looking at a few aspects. The one is just the end of the age, you know, in Matthew 24. And Matthew 24 talks about, you know, the disciples coming to Jesus and they're asking him, listen, but when will these things happen? How will it work? And I think they expect it, and I wish I was there, you know, I would have asked a few more precise questions like, no, Jesus, give us a few more tips. How exactly is it going to be? But we see there's going to be wars and rumors of wars, and there's going to be tribulation and a lot of tough stuff happening. Okay? And we can't understand all of it, and we're not supposed to. None of us. Scripture tells us explicitly, listen, you're not supposed to know when Jesus is coming back. He will be coming like a thief in the night. But the bottom line is, if I ask you, who of you will go and jog with me, say 7 o'clock in the morning? There's a chance a few will go. Naomi will go, she said. Okay? But if I say, okay, church is finishing at 12 o'clock, let's go at 12:30. Not a lot of people are going to go. Why? Because you hear those things, I'm not sure what they call it in English, but Afrikaans, it's sonbeesies. They're screaming outside. That means it's hot. We all know that. So, in a sense, we know it's going to be hot in that season, in that time of the history. Things are going to be difficult, especially for believers. And Scripture says one thing that I take out of it, it says, don't fall away. Make sure you're not falling away. Many people, you know, I always, when I was younger, I had this picture. Say someone walked to rob your house and they've put a gun against your head and they say, are you a Christian or not? If you say yes, I'm going to shoot you. If you say no, I'm going to leave you. You know, then I thought like, no, I'll just say no, and then later I'll just repent, and hopefully God's grace will be okay, and then later, you know, I'll just turn from my sin in that sense. But we think like that. And I think Scripture says lots of people are going to fall away. But it will primarily be because the relationship in Jesus isn't founded and solid. And then secondly, because there's not that boldness, there's not that confidence, there's not that trust in Him that whatever happens in this fleshly body, you know, in eternity you will be okay. It's really worth it. And I think that's something. I listened to a link from Pastor Sias the other day, you know, of a pastor, guy preaching, you know, and he is like preaching it hard, full on. And he's basically rebuking the people because they don't have an expectation that Jesus will come back. You know, and being a Christian many years now, I know probably not a lot of us this morning said, Jesus, we long for you, please come back. He will come in His own time and season. But we are afraid of the things that we can't manage or can't control or stuff. But especially then, I believe the church need to stand like a strong tower with people seeing these people trusting God. We will be okay. Then we've got that beautiful scripture in Hebrews 4, verse 14 to 16. Hebrews 4, verse 14 to 16. Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You know, now you need to know that in the Old Testament times, things worked a little bit differently. Okay, there was a high priest that sacrificed the perfect lamb, etc. People, the average guy in Israel, couldn't just like walk to God and in a sense speak to Him and share their hearts. Okay, it happened to Moses and the prophets, and God, they always spoke to God. They heard God's voice and they spoke to the nation. You know, but in the new covenant, the era, the time where we live in, everything is different. Okay, this is an invitation. You know, that God is inviting us to come close to that throne of grace. Now, just to read to you, I just want to read it to you. The encouragement to draw near to God's throne implies that Christians have the privilege of a personal relationship with God. Now, we know that. The Greek word for confidence can be translated boldness, confidence, courage, especially with the reverence to speaking before someone of greater rank or power. And you know, that's that thing that we need to understand. Listen, you're speaking to God, God Almighty. God had created the heavens and the earth. God is big, God is powerful, but He says we can come to Him. Okay, and we can do that in confidence. We can do that from a place of knowing He wants us to come close to Him. You know, God is a Father that right from the word go in Genesis up till the end, He was never silent. It was that 400 years between Malachi and John the Baptist that was kind of really quiet, you know. But apart from it, over the millennium, you know, God wanted to dwell with His people. He wanted to communicate with them, you know. And Pastor Fred in Encounter 2 gives that beautiful example of the moth and the candle. You know, this moth is drawn to the light, but the moth needs to have a healthy respect for that flame, you know. Because if you're in the wrong way, you come too close to that flame, it's going to burn you. It's going to kill you. But here it speaks that we can draw close, we can draw near to God with a place of really, almost it's like invitation. We can come to that throne room of grace if we need mercy, whether you have sinned, whether you're just going through a tough time. We just know God is saying, you can come to me. Then, trusting scripture, having confidence in Jesus, the word made flesh. Now, who of you have never read a passage in scripture and thought like, this is, I really don't understand what's happening here. I haven't got a clue. Or let me put it, who of you have read a passage and thought like, no, I'm clueless. I don't know what's happening here. I don't really understand the context or something. You know, many times I thought it's like, if the Apostle Paul could come here today and I said, me and Adrian, we're going to drive with Apostle Paul, you know, listen, you're going to come with us, we're going to drive in our double cab, 3-liter diesel engine buggy, and then we're going to put on the air conditioner, we're going to play a CD, someone's going to show you something on the iPod, and then we're going to give you a laptop when we get to the other place and we're going to eat at the Spur or something. He's going to say, what are you saying? I'm understanding none of what you said here. Because, you know, if we listen, if we put it the other way around, he don't know our technology. He don't know what a mic is. If I said to him, the power was off this morning, he would say, the what? You know, the what power? Power means something else to him. Okay, we've got NAM power, you know. But he won't understand what electricity or something mean. It wouldn't be an issue to him. He would just say to him, well, since Moses' time, there was no power. What power do you need now? Okay, but I read a part in the Old Testament this week again, and if you're sensitive, you know, and you really live into a piece of scripture, you know, then some pieces are really tough. And if you read the book of Joshua, you know, when we left Stellenbosch in South Africa 2008, I remember half of the boys, the young boys that were born, half of their names were Joshua. I don't know, it was a Joshua season. These people nodding and saying yes. There were just like really a lot of Joshuas. And a Joshua probably, you know, it's going into the promised land, taking the land, being a conqueror, being a mighty man. So it's a good name, I guess, to give to your sons. But you know, the book of Joshua is almost like a good old Western movie. There's a lot of action, a lot of bloodshed, a lot of fighting, a lot of killing for those of us that like stuff like that. I don't watch it anymore. But anyways, you know, and it's a great story, except if you were a Canaanite. If you were a Canaanite, this story didn't go off well, I believe, you know. And then you might ask yourself, but why at all, wasn't it like a genocide? Wasn't it like an ethnic cleansing? I mean, how can these people that is trying to protect these people invading their land, how can Joshua and the people say, but everyone needs to be killed and slaughtered, the cows, the everything? You know, isn't that like a little bit unfair? I mean, we see God's character in the New Testament, and we read and we see someone slaps you on this cheek, you know, turn the other one. But what is this thing with cleansing the whole area? You hear what I say? If you read it from the other side, I mean, I'm not a Jew, but I read it and I feel it's my victory too, because I'm part of the church. I'm Christian, you know, and Joshua was, God spoke to him, and he was a good guy, obviously, he was the leader. But if you look from the other side, it's like, you know, and what is the solution to it? It's just like easy. God is a divine creator, and he's a judge, and he judged the people, and that is what he said, and that's how it was going to be. And that's the answer. There's not something else, you know. There's like, God said, this is the land I'm going to give to you, and you better clean it. And it's almost, I want to say, like my kids, you know, playing in the sand and building houses. And because they build it, They can kick it and do back to dust again. And God created us, so we are His creation, and He rules and reigns over us, and He judges. And then, you know, later on, the Israelites got it back, you know, when they were exiled and went to Babylon, because of their sins and stuff. God was using another nation again to judge them and to punish them for their wrongdoing and their sin. But bottom line is to trust in Scripture, even the hard parts, the parts that we don't understand. And just knowing you, I know most of us are comfortable with stuff like praying in tongues and, you know, things like that, manifestation of the Holy Spirit. But we need to be comfortable with everything in Scripture, how history will end. You know, there's a way that God says everything will come to a close, how everything will end. And no matter what China do or the USA do or whoever, they can't change history. God's going to do it the way He's going to do it. And we need to trust Him in that. Now, I forgot to ask Prisca now to, can you come and share that testimony very quickly, just because I feel it's so in sync with what I want to share, just in a minute or two. Thanks, Prisca.
Yes, last Sunday, if I can maybe recall, I don't know how many times I've come to the front, somebody pray, lay hands and pray over me, and maybe I fall down or whatever it is, because I'm not a falling down kind type of person, if I should put it that way. The church where I come from, the background, everything, yes, we can pray for people and people can fall, but I always used to think to myself, it can't be for me. I don't want to be rolling there on the floor or whatever it is that happens. But anyway, last Sunday, I came to the front and Reynald had the word about a pool, like in the Bible there was the pool, and you know, if you were sick, you'll go to the pool and stuff like that. And then I saw him coming over to me. I'm like, oh my word, not Reynald. Anyway, so he laid his hand on me. He asked me, and he asked me, is there anything specific? So I told him, no, I just sense to remain pure before the Lord and so on. And then he started to pray. And then the next thing, I just felt in my heart, rest in the Lord. And there I was on the floor, like doof. But it was the softest fall of my life. It's like I fell on the softest mattress where I was just lying there and I was giggling. From in the flesh mind, I was like, this is so embarrassing, Lord, like, did I really have to fall? But I did. And then I thought it's because Reynald laid his hands on me. I go to intercession on Tuesday and we're praying, and there I'm again on the floor. I go to the office in the boardroom, I'm worshiping, and I find myself, I'm worshiping from the floor. Encounter two, we come back home, Linda drops us, and she felt tired, and then we felt, let's just pray over her. And as I lay my hand on her, and as I was praying, which I just felt like something shook in the car. It gave me such a fright. Like, I lifted my hand immediately. I couldn't contain my hand there. But Linda shared, and she's like, she felt her head was heavy. All of a sudden, her head is light. But it's just so amazing. So now I'm at this place where I'm saying, God, my flesh cannot understand it. My mind cannot understand it right now. But I guess let's do this. Wherever you find me in the presence, if the Lord says, rest in the Lord now, the softest mattress. I guess even in the middle of a meeting, that's it, to God be the glory. That's
you know, when me and Prisca just spoke about that in the week, and it's that place where we just have to be comfortable with what God is doing, you know, and we know the spirit of Elijah will come back, you know. We know just before Jesus came, there needs to be something big that's going to happen, because I'm not sure if the global church is growing that much or it's decreasing. Some places it's growing, other places it's really getting smaller, you know. But some big things are going to happen. God is really going to touch people to come into the kingdom, to believe the gospel. We will see a lot of sick people healed, the dead being raised and stuff like that. Just one example here in Acts 8 verse 39. Trusting God in the supernatural. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more, and went on his way rejoicing. You know, it's almost like Elijah just being raptured. You know, and with your natural mind, you can think, okay, so what is Scripture saying actually here? What is the explanation? Basically what it says, that's what it says. You know, the Spirit of the Lord carried him away. And it's like when Paul And the guys wanted to go, I think it was Paul, to certain areas. You know, just the Holy Spirit forbid them to go there. And it's just the Holy Spirit being in control. And if those of you were 2 weeks ago at Encounter One, it was so awesome just to see the Holy Spirit healing two people and really touching other people, really filling that person powerfully with the Holy Spirit. And that's the stuff that we want to see. That is the things that we need to see. So we need to have confidence in God for others. Then secondly, it's that place of having the confidence and trust, or rather trust, confidence from trust in God in a storm, that people around us can see, listen, this person is standing, and there's something that makes them stand. It's not themselves. It's not your own personality. There's something else, something bigger, something stronger. And then just that place, as I said, for the end times, the things of the future, you know, just having a boldness and a confidence. And then fourthly, just drawing near, there's a slide, I think it's the second slide, just outlining those various points, to draw near with confidence, you know, that we can know we've got a Father that we can go to that really invites us to come to that throne of grace with confidence. And then I say trusting Scripture, the hard parts, parts that, and I mean all of you know, there's many parts that you aren't exactly sure how to interpret it or what it means, you know, but just to trust what it says. And then point number six, the manifestation of the Spirit. As we go around, as we go on missions, you know, really to be sensitive what the Holy Spirit is telling us, whether He says go or stay. You can actually email Liesl and ask her. I'm not sure if you get a newsletter from Stellenbosch, but yes. And there's a clip, and then there's a lot of people giving feedback, you know, about the Convergence Conference, and you know, but I'm talking now about the speakers. And I remember Johan Potgieter told me, just because he was part of that recording, you know, one of the guys, Dr. Courtney Becker, one of the speakers, he's from the United States, you know, and I wanted to also interview him, just like giving a message for South Africa and what did you get out of the conference, etc., that type of thing. And he said yes, and then he said, no, wait, let me just check with the Spirit. Let me just check with the Holy Spirit. And then he prayed a bit, and then he said, yes, no, it's fine. You know, and that was so awesome. You know, because usually you ask a celebrity speaker and a guy just to make a shoot and stuff, and it's kind of, I mean, how can it be wrong just to tell? And he was so sensitive to the Spirit, just to check with the Spirit, is this thing okay? And then just going to what Prisca just shared now, you know, she said in a week, Pastor, I'm not the falling over type, but you know, it's happening, and I need to be okay with that. And it's like, I remember when I was young in Stellenbosch and sometimes invited someone to church, and then you think like, oh, please, that they don't just sing in tongues today, that they please, and what's happening, then they do exactly that, you know, or someone is manifesting or whatever, you know, stuff like that. But we need to be not like weird with what the Holy Spirit is doing, otherwise we're really going to miss out. So I really trust that we can be a people, that we can be a church and a family and individuals. We people go to a small group, come to church services, and really see, listen, I'm encountering trust here. I'm encountering people that is, in a sense, unshakable. People that is holding on to God, standing really and trusting Him with all of your heart. You know, and I just want to encourage you, you know, God will never take away our will to make a decision. We've got the free will to make decisions for ourselves. If you want to listen just to your own decision, that is why Scripture says probably many will fall away. They're not just going to fall away. They're going to make the decision to walk away because things are getting too hot. Things are, you know, being a Christian is going to be too tough. But I really want to ask you this morning, you know, to stay close to the body, to stay close to your fellow believers and in fellowship, and not to fall away in any sense, you know. We need to do this thing really corporately. We need to do it as a church. And you know, some of us got hurt by people, offended by people, and maybe you even feel you can't trust God because, you know, I remember, and many of you will know this testimony I've shared many times, you know, when my mom died when I was 16 years old of cancer, you know, then you think like, God, where are you now? How are you? Why are you allowing this? And it's the same thing than the Canaanite people. God is sovereign. We live in that sense, we live in a broken world. People will die, dust to dust. You know, it's tough, but you can't be angry with God because someone broke into your car. That doesn't mean God is not trustable. We live in a, only when the new heaven and the new earth, the new Jerusalem come after the second coming, you know, then things will be perfect. Jesus said he will wipe away our tears and everything. Then people won't gossip at work anymore and say your shoes don't fit your dress or stuff like that. for the men as well. Everything is fitting, by the way. So you hear my heart this morning. I really trust that if there's any area in your life that you feel, whether it's the church or God or leaders or anything, you know, we need to overcome that place of not trusting, because it's because as an individual, you're going to miss out. And then, as I said, that I believe there's that safe place where we need to be safe in God's arms. Just like as we sang, or that place of God's presence, you know, just coming into that rest, giving over and saying, Lord, I trust you completely with what you want to do in my life right now. Can we stand, please? Father, this morning, Lord, we want to come to you, Lord God. And Father, we just want to admit, Lord God, that many times it's tough for us, Lord God, to trust ourselves even, Lord God. Sometimes we can't even trust ourselves with the things happening in life, Lord, and we fail ourselves in a sense. And Father, then we feel so bad when we fail you, Lord God. Most of us have made promises and somewhere in our life, and we said, Lord, we will never do this again, just to get us to a place where we do it again, Lord God. Father, thank you that we have our high priest, Lord Jesus, that you know everything that about being tempted and all those things, Lord. But thank you that we can come to that throne room of grace, Lord God. And yes, Lord God, that you will give us strength and that you will give us, yes, that you will forgive our sins, Lord God, and empower us to overcome, Father. And I pray a blessing over every one of us this morning, Lord, that in this season that we are right now, Lord, that you are calling us to a place of just walking in faith, blind faith, like Peter walking on the water, and just trusting you, Lord. I pray that every obstacle, Father, that is in our way, that's hindering us to trust you, Lord, that it will crumble, that we will give it over to you, Lord, and that you will remove it, Lord God, that in that sense that our wells can be opened, Father God. And yes, Lord God, that sometimes we are so afraid to just maybe resign a job just because you say so, that we can stand in faith that you know better, Lord God. And Lord, especially embracing tough times, Lord God, that yes, Lord God, that disciples, Lord, they were so afraid of those waves in the ocean, Lord, and we can relate with that, Lord. Many times we think of all the what ifs in life. What if this is happening, or what if that will happen, Lord God? What will become of me or my children or my family, Lord God? But Lord, that we can just come back to a place of like where Paul wrote in 2 Thessalonians and just say, God, I'm trusting in you for other people. I pray, Lord God, that we can be like shining lights, that people will see that we don't lose it, Lord God, when the moth flies into our life, Lord God, but that we will stand in faith, Father God, at that unshakable place where Windhoek, Lord God, can see, Lord God, we are believers, Lord God, and we are planted and we are rooted in you this morning, Lord God. Father, thank you for revealing your heart to us, Lord God, right through Scripture, that you are a God that wants to talk to us, Lord God. And I trust and I feel also this morning, Lord, that you are calling many of us just to come closer, Lord God. And yes, Lord, we are saying, but what about that flame, Lord God? What about that thing that I'm scared of, Lord? But thank you that this morning, Lord, that we can just give it over, Lord God. Lord, I know in this season that we resisted many times where you want to minister to our lives, Lord. We want to or need to respond to the word that you give us, Lord. I pray, Father, that yes, Lord God, that we will just let go of pride and fear of man and all those things, that we can say, Lord Jesus, here I am, work in my life, change me for the better, that I can just become more Christ-like. In Jesus' name. As we are here this morning, and if you are here this morning and you feel there's just something in your life, still like a stumbling stone, something that's just holding you back about trusting God completely and kind of giving over to him and just saying, Lord, your will and not mine. If you feel maybe your trust have been betrayed, or maybe you even feel, and I just sensed that as I was praying, you know, maybe you feel you can't trust yourself even. Maybe it's to say no for the chocolate or stuff you do in life, stuff you need to walk away from. And then you think like, but how will God trust me? How can I trust God? So if you've got any type of a trust issue this morning, something you're just saying, Lord, I will allow you to cut a little bit, but not everything, because I'm not right to give over. And the Father, the Holy Spirit will never embarrass you. As Prisca just shared, when she fell, it was so soft. If it's something the Spirit does, it won't hurt you physically. Okay? But if there's something in your heart this morning and you feel you just need to pray a prayer about agreeing on something where you, as I said, have a trust issue, just as the band is just playing, I just want to invite you to come to the front and let me just pray about that. Amen.